spirit lead in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And a father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that life. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you, help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth.
This is Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant. This show is about the topical, the conversational, but most importantly, the purposeful. We hope to develop and distribute hope to the broken. We pray that this show blesses you today. All right, we're back at it again. This is Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant. We just want to take a quick second to thank all of the listeners out there. Seems as if the podcast is growing. We have countries all around the world tuning in, which always has me baffled because I'm wondering how this is being translated.
I know, it is. It's crazy because we have Afghanistan, Germany, Australia.
Australians speak English, though.
Oh, they do?
Yes.
See? I told you I didn't know geography or history.
But hey, this
but
is
But that doesn't
the,
matter. I mean, still.
No, I'm just saying it's the beauty behind the internet, the World Wide Web,
yes.
Technology, and using these tools to redeem the world, redeem the airways, redeem social media, redeem what God has called you to redeem.
What do they speak in Angola?
Angolian?
Well, that's another part of our audience.
Well, we thank them regardless.
Yes,
we thank
awesome.
You wherever you are, and we appreciate your support because, you know, it really is an honor to do this, to share what God has done in our lives individually, and hopefully it inspires you where you are.
That's our prayer. We pray before every show that this would touch your hearts and your lives and encourage you. That's really what it's about.
And that is really the topic of today's show, is speaking life.
Oh, so important.
Into other people's lives.
Yep.
Proverb that kind of goes with all this is the power of life and death are in the tongue.
In the tongue.
You mm-hmm. think about that. The power of life and death are in the tongue. And you hear the quotes, our words are weapons. We can use our words to destroy people or build them up.
That's the truth.
People compare the tongue to sharp objects or a knife, cut yes. somebody's back bite, gossip, slander. All these things are done with the tongue. And we, as Christians, have the ability and opportunity to do the opposite.
Lift somebody up, encourage
build somebody up, encourage somebody, inspire somebody, speak into their life. And the reason why we're talking about that today is because this man, Pastor Victor Hudson, we've been talking about sporadically the past few shows, was instrumental in speaking into my life.
Yes. There's a proverb that says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold.
Right.
And you know how valuable that would be, an apple of gold. That's where Pastor Vic, for me, he's my apple of gold. Some of the things he has said to us through the years and some of the things he's spoken into you are just, they've held us up.
Right. And he was not one who would hold back on the truth. He wouldn't sugarcoat it, especially now you're coming into a prison and you could say certain things to motivate us as inmates. He never did that. He didn't want to just come in and tickle our ears and make us feel good emotionally. No. He wanted to challenge us spiritually. And that required him to come in and be very pointed and passionate about the truth. And I remember one of the things he came in and said that really changed the trajectory of my thought process was, you all in here are focused on your release date. And that's accurate. If you're in prison, you better believe that you're looking forward to that release date. No matter when it is, you know it and you think about it because you can't wait to get out of there. And he said, you are all thinking about your release date, but you need to change your thought process and not think about that release date. You need to think about what you're going to release until that date. And he started to talk about releasing pride. Who's in here for pride issues? Who's in here for anger issues? What are you going to release? Who's in here for addiction? What are you going to release? Wow. So when that release date comes, you are fit to live out your calling. And he would always talk about God's calling on our life and talk about how to deal with our calling, how to deal with criticism.
How powerful that must have been, though, because I would imagine that many of these men that are in prison, at least statistically, they say, didn't have father figures or someone laying out the kind of sage wisdom that a dad would. And it sounds to me that that's what he was doing also, but in a firm way, in a firm and loving way.
And majority of the inmate population didn't have a father figure. And he would do an awesome job filling the gap, not as their fathers, but yeah, with a firm love. But he would do an unbelievable job explaining our daddy above, our heavenly father, and how even if you don't have a father figure in your life, and you don't have this mentor, and you don't have anybody to look up to, well, there's a God that you can call daddy, and he could fill the gap in your heart, and this is how you know him. And then he would explain Jesus Christ, his son, and how if you don't understand God in the big picture, you can understand the son as the word of God explains him. And it really did wonders a lot of guys that didn't have that in their lives. And me, I did. I had an awesome father, your husband. So imagine you're there, and in a sense, even Pastor Vic would say, and Little John would say, and all these other guys you come across would say, man, you don't belong here. You're like a young kid.
Right.
Yes, I did great harm and tragedy. I made a very reckless decision, but did not fit the mold of incarceration.
Right.
The statistics, the criminal background.
It was like you were beamed on the Star Trek show out of one world into another. And you were really an alien there.
Right. So Pastor Vic did an awesome job speaking into our lives and having to deal with so many different backgrounds, different personalities, different face sheets, different everything. And I'm just going to share some things that he shared with us. He would always talk about preparation. Prepare now, he would say, for what is to come. Prepare now for what is to come. And he would use Joseph in the Bible, how God had to prepare him for a huge responsibility that was to come. But he didn't know it. Joseph in the Bible did not know that he was being prepared in slavery. He was being prepared in prison. And he was basically being an apprentice to what would eventually, where eventually he would be a leader.
Yes, all through hardship and suffering.
And when it comes, Pastor Vic would say, there is nothing that will make you falter. Are you ready? And then he would always give verses. Our hope should be built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. He would talk to us about our thoughts. He would say, how many of you are committing suicide in your thoughts?
Wow.
And it, not only the thought behind that, it was a reality. A lot of guys would want to kill themselves. But how many of us are committing suicide in our thoughts, which is counting God out, counting yourself out? You're basically committing suicide emotionally.
Yeah, I can relate to that. And I think a lot of people out there listening can relate to that. I think any time we start doubting and digressing from the purpose that we think we have had our feet planted on, that's committing, you know, mental suicide. And I struggle with that. I get up every morning and I literally have to say to myself, stop looking at what you think should be happening with certain things with our ministry. And just keep doing what God has called you to do.
Right. How about this? Lord, what do you see in me that if I don't remove it now, it will destroy me?
Oh my gosh.
Imagine you're an inmate and you're hanging on these truths. What is inside of you? He would say to us. Men of God. I don't see you as a prisoner. God doesn't see you as a prisoner. God doesn't care about prison. He cares about the person in prison. What is inside of you that if you don't deal with today will destroy you tomorrow?
These might be great for your youth rally that you're going to be doing while we're Catholic. These are amazing principles.
What have you told me to stop doing that I haven't done yet? He would talk about Jabez in the Bible, that prayer that Jabez prayed. And it says in the Bible that he was more honorable than his brethren.
And all that's in there is about four verses of this guy Jabez, correct?
Yes, and Pastor Vic would talk about that. He would say, are you more honorable than your brothers? He would say that to me. You know, personally, he would say, Matt, you're because you were more honorable than your brethren, not just your brothers at home, your brethren around you. when you're more honorable than your brethren, which means you are acting in integrity. And I had a cool conversation with Matt Stokes, Pastor Matt Stokes of Coastal Christian recently about the word integrity. He said, people think integrity is just honesty.
Right.
He said, but you can be honest and then have a fracture somewhere else in your life that nobody knows about, and you lack integrity.
Right. Isn't it? What's the Greek for it? I thought it was oneness or sameness.
Wholeness.
Okay.
A wholeness about you, your thought process, your actions, your character, everything is whole.
It remains the same.
Unfractured,
no matter what.
Unbroken.
Yes.
And it's like peace. Peace cannot have any fractures in it either. So these two words are always tied together. One of the quotes that Pastor Vic gave us was, your destiny will be unlocked by your integrity.
By your wholeness.
By your wholeness.
Yeah.
And I use that in my presentation now, and I believe
like
that.
It.
That the way, if I'm walking with integrity, wholeness, that God will continually bless my destiny. And you're in prison and you're hearing this. Imagine the encouragement, the infusion of spirit.
Well, imagine the light that's infusing.
Well, how about this? He talked to us about pottery, Mom. Do you understand what goes into the pottery process? And he would use the verses in the Bible that we are pottery in the hands of God. And even when there's a mar, and instead of throwing away, the God that loves us will reform us. He will fashion us. And sometimes, what do you do with the clay? You have to slam it down on the table.
Throw
and you have
down.
To iron it out or massage it out. And you know why? Because there's little pebbles or dirts that get stuck in there that if the great potter doesn't work out firmly with his fingers, when he bakes that clay, it will be impure.
You using any of this for that rally you're doing?
I'll bring my notebook up and just sit there and talk. No, but this is the point. The point is, he says this.
I love
when you walk by a pottery store or a place that is displaying clay jars or any type of vessels, he said, do you think the people that are walking by window shopping care what the pottery went through? Do you think people care what it went through? No, they don't care the process. They only care if it's usable. And he would say, you are here as pottery, being prepared, being baked, being formed. Will you be displayable in the window to the people that God put in your life? And that's so true. I mean, people don't care what I went through while I was in prison. You do. My mom, my dad, me, and my brothers. But the people in my life that I've been touching recently as far as ministering to, they only care if I'm usable. And that's why God will allow this process that is personal, what I went through. What you went through in your grieving process with John, you're pouring into people's lives now. You're usable. And you know what? You know what the people that you're ministering to, they technically don't really care about the hardship and pain that you went through.
Right.
So, what are some of the other things? Project your future. Pastor Vic would continually tell us to see yourself, write it down, project your future. Being grateful has nothing to do with the amount of time you have left. Oh, because you know why? You get closer to that end date in prison, and you do. You get a little bit more excited. You can kind of – you're on the downslope, and you see guys literally change. I mean, I saw a guy that did like – I was with him for years, and he was just downcast. He was just – stayed in his bed. But when he had 1 year left, he started to work out. He started to read. I'm like, yo, man, why don't you do that from the beginning?
Right.
And that's how you knew that wasn't – that change wasn't deep. It was the surface.
Yes.
So take advantage of the time spent in the desert. How many people neglect the time in the valley?
Yes.
Or in the desert or in the wilderness. And there's great men of God in the Bible that God brought to these places of isolation or desolation to do a work in them, to prepare them for a future opportunity. And here's the point. You have to have the maturity level to meet the responsibility level. If you don't, then you will break that responsibility or you will break that opportunity. And there's a quote Pastor Vic gave us, whatever you devalue, you will lose. Whatever you devalue, whether it's a relationship, whether it's finances, whether it's emotions, whatever it is, you will lose it. You will break it. So he talked always about taking advantage of the time spent in isolation.
You know, I use this when I talk about when I lost John, my son. I describe 3 years as being on the backside of the desert, and it was okay. I was involved in so many things in the community, in the church, in my own home, and I let go all of those responsibilities because I felt that God placed me on the backside of the desert, and all I really wanted to do at that time was, number one, take care of my little granddaughter, who was his daughter, but also to read, to pray, to meditate on everything God was teaching me, and through people who showed up in my house. My house became the backside of the desert. I rarely went, I didn't even go ShopRite sometimes to get my groceries. Matt would come home from college and shop for me. I just coveted that time, and I believe it built spiritual muscle, and I think that's what he's saying. You spend that time and you utilize it, and something else is going to come along, and you're going to see how much stronger you are because of it.
So true. I got to read this sequence of notes from Jeremiah chapter 18. It says, "We are the clay in the potter's hands." This is the instruction he gave to Jeremiah. Arise and go. After the word, Jeremiah was obedient. So the word will come. You must be obedient. Why? He is the Father. We are the clay. We are the marred clay in his hands. We are blemished. But in his hands, he is working to make us complete. Broken pottery is usually disregarded in a potter's field or a field of dead bodies, where the world wants to discard those who are broken and battered and useless. But guess what? God will never throw us away. He will rework us. He will reshape us. He will mold us. Verse 4 in chapter 18 of Jeremiah. So he made it again. Why? God will work all the impurities out. The potter feels the clay and builds it up, then he breaks it down, then he molds it back accordingly. The potter's hands constantly are around the clay. That's God. His hands are constantly around you when you're broken down and when you're being built up. How long do you have to stay on that wheel, that process? Well, here's the point. As long as there is sin in your life, God will continually work it out. It needs to be squeezed out. Clay is molded into a vessel, but the ultimate use of the vessel depends on the part where nothing exists. Clay is the dirt. Clay has dirt with stones, branches, twigs. That's sin. The first thing the potter does is he slams it down, looks for the stones, rolls and feels for stones. Does it feel like life is upside down right now? Perhaps the Father is rolling you. Potter knows that air needs to be taken out, so he places it where? In the fire. Not to kill it, but to purify it. Potter knows clay will be used, so he watches the clay carefully to shape it, mold it, that it may be displayed. He slams you down for your own good. I mean, this stuff's personal to me. I mean, I was slammed down, and it was for my good. And here's the point I was trying to make last time. Nobody cares what you went through while you were in the potter's hands. They only care if you are pleasant to view, if you fill up properly.
That's interesting. That's good stuff. And that was all from Pastor Vic's teaching?
I mean, I can just turn page after page. Right now, you can't go backwards. You can only go forward. You can start over right now. You messed up back then, but you get it right now. That's the difference. Repent. Change your mind. When God favors us, we don't return the favor. He gives, and we go. He would say, it ought not be.
Wow.
He would want us to see God's heart, not just his hand.
Wow.
I write in a side note, Mom, with stars, there was a battle for me that dreadful night. You know what night I'm speaking of? I'm speaking of the night, the first night home after being picked up from the state police and finding out the gravity of what I caused. And remember I told you I woke up, everybody calls it those anxiety nightmares. You've had them.
Yes.
But I was awake, and I was paralyzed, and I couldn't move. And I firmly believe in the spiritual world there was a battle for me that night. And I don't know why I wrote that on this particular page of notes, but...
There was a spiritual battle.
There's a spiritual battle for your soul right now, listener. And if you don't wage war back... And for some of you, that waging of war requires you to surrender. To give up. Stop fighting in your physical, in your emotional, in your mental. Let go spiritually and watch God be the warrior with the victory. And for some of you, you know what? You know better. You should be waging war spiritually. You should be on your knees praying. You used to, but you stopped. You should be reading the Word of God more. You used to, but life got in the way. And I'm thinking that is a challenge for everybody out there. There's a spiritual war going on. Are you literally a casualty? Or are you a soldier? And the soldier that gets on is the one that knows the instructions from the commander. Do you know your commander today? What happens when a seed dies? It produces fruit. He talked about being like a seed in the ground, darkness around you, no hope in sight, no light in sight. But guess what? God plants you there for a reason, for a season, and one day you will spring forth if you take to the land that you're planted in.
You just did 15 different topics for shows. They're all awesome. We could go on every single one of those things you said. There's 100 things to add. That's awesome stuff. Talk about speaking life into people. And anybody that's out there listening right now, this is God speaking life into you. And we hope that you take that to your heart and just ask the Lord to help you to see that and to make the changes that need to be changed through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. So we'll end with this, just because we wanted to keep the show in the proper time today. And that is what time is. Time is man's greatest test to endure. Time will either offend you, or time can be used to mend you. If you let God mend you, it's all going to work out in time. What fruit are you bearing? Now think about this, and this is what we'll close with time and the land and the seed analogy and fruit. And this, once again, was Pastor Vic on the phone with me the other day. He said, Matt, people are too focused on fruit. And I get it. You need to take care of the seed and the tree that is going to bear fruit. He said, but if you take care of the land, if you take care of what's below your feet, where God has you, then the land takes care of the seed. And the land feeds the seed. And the seed grows naturally to fruit. What do you think about that? Did I just lose you on that one, Mom?
That was pretty deep. I'm trying to follow it.
Well, take care of where you are. Don't say, oh, I'm in this bad job.
Okay,
when I get out of this job,
right,
I'm in a bad circumstance. Or I'm going through an adversity. Once this clears. Or
why isn't this moving quickly, more quickly than I thought?
Right, that's but if you take thing. Care of the land is what is responsible for the seed. If the land's bad, no matter how good the seed is, it's not going to yield.
Right.
That's the point. So,
good point.
Okay, folks, we gave you so much today. You probably have to go back and listen to this show.
I'm going to listen
slowly.
To it numerous times.
There's so much more that Pastor Victor Hudson spoke into our lives. I mean, I have a journal just filled with diamonds.
We praise Pastor Victor
Hudson. And you know what? I probably will go into this youth rally on April 25th for the student ministries throughout South Jersey, with some of these ideas about conviction and belief and where they stand, and pull some of Pastor Vic's truths from God's Word, all from God's Word, and share it with the youth. So we thank you once again for tuning in. You probably say, what the heck? I thought I was tuning into the Matt and Mom show, but where's Mom at?
Mom's here. I'm really enjoying this Matt and Mom show.
Well, I can't help it. I have to.
No, it's great. Matt, seriously, what you're speaking is resonating in my heart, and I know it's resonating in other people's hearts. So it doesn't matter if you're speaking more than me. I am in the house.
All right. Well, being in the house, we are going to close down this podcast. We thank you once again for tuning in, reminding you may be the only Bible somebody reads. And Psalms 46:10, what a potent truth spoken into our own lives, that God is in control. So be still and know that. We thank you for tuning in.
Despite all my flaws, he takes the pain from my flesh and leaves it right at the cross.
Which way are you going? Yahweh, you don't know him. I answer his calling. Y'all people ain't knowing. He breathed in my lungs and spared me from Satan. And now that I love, even my loved ones they hate. Waiting patiently, pacing for me to fall on my face. But I'm falling in faith, pardon me for his grace. There's a battle out there, spiritually in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And the father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going. If you live in that light, don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you. Help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth.
I've been there.
I know where you're coming from. so I know where you're going. Listen, listen, listen. You guys that are running the street, y'all think y'all doing something different.
Nah.
Don't you know they've been watching that block that you're on since before my time?
Wow.
So what makes you think that you're doing something different? You want to do something different? Put your faith in Christ.